For our reading this morning, we turn to the New Testament and the first letter of Paul in the Bible. We read from chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, page 1754. 1754. We'll be reading the first 14 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning, that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. And I might just mention that when he says there in verse 12, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. By the word body, he just doesn't mean our mere physical existence, but he means you and me as we move around concretely in our life from day to day. And then when he talks about the members of the body, he's talking about our hands and our eyes and our ears and our feet and so on. The text that I've selected in this passage is verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dear friends of the Lord, I've been, and I was just thinking about that, preaching from time to time for this congregation since the 1970s, even before this building was put up and the congregation was still meeting in the Toronto District Christian High School auditorium. And I have not kept track of how many times I've led the worship service here, nor of all the different topics, although I do note when I preach a sermon where I preach it. But this morning I'm delighted to be here, and this text suggested itself to me when at Easter, I was aware that I was going to be coming here. And I was thinking about the effect of Jesus' death and resurrection in your and my life. Now, suppose that you have a close relative who is a thief. He steals and steals. Gets caught, ends up in jail, gets out again, steals again, back in trouble again. What would you ask God to do for that person? I think you'd pray for two things. The one is, you'd ask God to forgive him, wouldn't you? But probably even more, you would ask God to change him so that he'd stop being a thief, he'd stop taking things from others that don't belong to him, and instead would become a person who does things for others. Because then you'd be able to respect him, you'd be able to look up to him, you'd be able to trust him. Now, that prayer of yours for that person, for forgiveness and for renewal, is precisely in line with God's plan. There are two parts of the good news. The first is, when you and I go to him with everything that's wrong and missing in our life, God takes care of it. On basis of the death of Jesus, he forgives it, and it's gone. And as a result, you and I can make a list as long as we possibly can of all the things that are wrong and missing in our lives, and then leave probably even a bigger space for all the things that are wrong with us that we don't know about, and then draw a big cross through it, because God wipes it all away. That part of our past is gone, period. But the second part, and this is again tremendous news, God doesn't leave us there. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he also brings about an interchange. And along with that interchange, he gives us also access to power to change our life, to become different, to become better. That's what Paul focuses on in this chapter in his letter to the Christians in Rome. And what he says in our text, and it's a key part of that chapter, has to do with how Christians are to see themselves. Now, in one of the churches I served, I was privileged to teach all the faith instruction classes for the kids from age 12 on. It took two nights a week because it was a substantial congregation. I loved it, and I think most of the kids survived it. In one particular class, I handed out sheets of paper to the kids, and I said, I'd like you to write down five things that you do not like about yourself. Well, they set to work right away, and it was easy, and they had it done in no time. Then I asked them, now on the reverse side, write three things that you do like about yourself. And it became quiet, and they weren't starting to write anything quickly. And pretty soon, the pencils started swaying in their hand. And one of the boys looks up to me and he said, this is hard. And immediately all the rest of them chimed in and said, yes, this is really hard. But how about you or me? If we had to list the dislikes and the likes here this morning, would the dislikes be easier than the likes? For many of us Christians, it is a lot easier to think of ourselves as sinners than as people who are becoming likable and who do good. But is that what the Bible teaches us? True. Every morning we take the time here to confess our sin to God and ask for His forgiveness. And that's not an empty gesture. We Christians do sin. And we need to ask for forgiveness every day. In fact, we believe, to quote one of our creeds, that in this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of the obedience God requires of us. And that, by the way, is also a reason why we Christians often have a bad name. Some Christians are racists. Others steal. Still others are intolerant, lazy, or twist the truth. There's no question that we Christians can be foolish, display ugly attitudes, and do ghastly things. The history of the church shows that altogether too much. But does that define us as Christians? If you trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, says Paul in Romans 6, this is the tremendous news. It's the news that if we take it in, if we apply it to ourselves, it will lead to better lives, lives that demonstrate love, lives that bless those around us. He says in 6 verse 11, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In another translation, his words come through even more forcefully. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, how does that strike you? Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. At this point, let's ask two questions. The first one is, if as a Christian I still sin, how can I see myself as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus? And secondly, why is it so important for me to see myself as dead to sin but alive to God? Well, let's begin with this last question. How important is it for me to look at myself as alive to God in Christ Jesus? Well, it is because what we think we are has huge consequences for what we expect to be able to do. If I'm a girl, and I'm told girls can't do mathematics, what confidence will that give me in entering a math class? If I'm told by my parents, as they raise me, that I'm so ugly that nobody will ever want to marry me, that will certainly influence me deeply when I'm approached romantically by someone who is simply bad news. And you probably know many examples of those. Or if I'm raised and told as a boy, you're a loser, Won't that have a powerful influence on the value that I place on my life? What we believe about ourselves has tremendous influence on what we feel we can do and on how we act, because we tend to become what we think we are. Now, let's apply that to being a Christian. To a Christian who says, I am first and foremost a sinner. That lowers what we expect to be able to do. We say basically to ourselves, and we may not even articulate it, but it becomes kind of a low-grade reaction, why try hard if I'm going to fail anyway? And with lower expectation, it also becomes a lot easier for me to give in to bad thoughts, destructive desires, and negative habits. I'm lured into them much more easily. And as a result, to quote the Apostle Paul here, we, quote, let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Or again, we offer the parts of our body to sin as instruments of wickedness. And the downdraft of our seeing ourselves, first of all, as sinners, is really quite sad and painful. It attacks our self-respect. It undermines our confidence that we are children of God. And instead of being increasingly joyful, we remain or become pessimistic because we disappoint ourselves and others, and especially God, over and over again. And now to all of that, the Bible says no. You're on the wrong track when you think that way. Stop seeing yourself first and foremost as a sinner. When you believe in Jesus, it's no longer the same old story for you. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. But then we ask, how in the world is that possible? Well, the key lies in how God works out his rescuing love in the world and in human life. Notice the words of Paul very carefully. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now let me try to make that clear. If I see myself first and foremost as a sinner, I look at myself apart from Jesus. I see myself as an isolated individual and leave out any tie to him. And that is a crucial mistake. What does the Bible teach? Well, let's assume that you are from the Esposito family, and that Mr. and Mrs. Esposito are your parents. Then, no matter where you go, no matter how much in life you achieve, no matter how famous you become, you will always be an Esposito. Isn't that right? In the same way, when you believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord, then you become part of his family. Jesus died on the cross after living a perfect life. Jesus rose again from the dead. And by believing in him, we become part of his family. So when Jesus lived his perfect life here on earth, he did not do that as an isolated individual. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he did not do that as an isolated individual. When on the third day Jesus rose again from the dead, he did not do that as an isolated individual. He did it as our head. He did it as our representative. He did it as the head of the family. And by faith, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are part of that family. And then the point of the Apostle Paul is never think of yourself apart from who you are in Jesus, because that is the most fundamental thing about you from there on. It's quite possible that sometime during Lent or Good Friday, you sang the hymn, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when God rose him from the dead?" It happens to be one of my favorite hymns. Well, let me ask you, were you there? If you believe in Jesus, Paul says you were there. As a sinner, you were crucified with Jesus on the cross. And when he rose again from the dead, you rose with him. In Christ, you have a new identity. And you are no longer first and foremost a sinner. You are now in Christ, alive to God. Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And how do we come to share in that wonderful gift, in fact? By the act of believing Jesus, the act of faith. It's by placing our trust in Jesus. It's believing that God gave us sinners his own Son who conquered sin and death and who did it on our behalf. Faith is the avenue through which we share in the blessing of Jesus' victory. And you know, of course, that this kind of faith is something different from believing that Columbus discovered America a number of centuries ago. No, faith in Jesus is a living relationship with him. It's interacting with him every day. It's listening to him by taking time and reading the Bible and reflecting on it. It also includes talking with him from our side in prayer. And we often underestimate prayer in terms of that relationship. But as a professor that I studied under said once in a book of prayer, and I quote, "Christians make their fastest progress on their knees. Christians make their fastest progress on their knees." Well, faith is that kind of a relationship. We listen to the Lord, we share our life with the Lord, and we also come together and worship to be reinforced with the knowledge we're not first and foremost sinners anymore, but in Christ we're alive to God. And with that kind of faith, we get joy in our life. with that kind of faith that gets to be spring to our step. And we get to have expectations. Yes, expectations. Because our focus will be on God and His tremendous gift to us in Jesus. We wake up in the morning and we expect to say no to all kinds of stupid options that come to us, all kinds of evil thoughts and habits. We wake up and expect that we're not going to go there. And we wake up in the morning and expect to say yes to the beautiful things that God asks of us, to loving Him, to thanking and praising Him. And we expect that we will look at our neighbors not as ways in which we can use them for ourselves, squeeze the light of them, the life out of them for our own benefit, but we look at them with eyes of love and want to be a blessing in their lives for the day. So we expect to use our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our hands and our feet and our brains. We expect it to use a different, to make a difference for good for our neighbors. Believing in Jesus, believing that in Jesus we're alive to God, will make a huge difference and a wonderful difference in our day-to-day life. And for you who believe in Jesus, just think of what you have done and are doing to show love for God and love for those around you. Think of the many expressions of praise you offer to the Lord and the deep thanks that you experience for God giving you life and for God holding your life in His hand, no matter what may be experience you may be experiencing here. And think of how God, through Jesus, has helped you to say no to all kinds of stuff that might get you stuck, that might bring damage to your life, that might hurt others. And think of how God has helped you to be a blessing to others. Think of the sacrifices of time, money, and energy that you have made for God's service and for blessing other people's lives. And think of the many prayers that you've offered for others, not for yourself. And that's all because of the death and resurrection of Jesus and the power that flows from Him into our life and which we appropriate, which we take in by trust in Him and interacting with Him. It's all because God in Christ has made you alive to Him, and it's affected you in a wonderful and deep way. So to sum up, you and I can think of ever so many things that are wrong and missing in our life. But, says Paul, don't let that define you. It doesn't. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in Him who is the conqueror of sin and death. And by faith, that victory of Jesus is yours, not just for forgiveness, but for bringing about a wonderful change in your life. So once more, were you there when they crucified my Lord? If by faith in Jesus you were there, you're alive to God and alive to neighbor. And you know that the challenge place, that the Lord places before you and me is a delightful one. one that we won't meet perfectly, but we will begin to meet, because through Jesus' resurrection, we are alive to God. And all God's people say, shall we pray? Loving Lord, thank you that your good news embraces our whole existence. Thank you that with you there is forgiveness, but thank you also and especially that you change us, and that we are to think of ourselves in light of your having adopted us into your family, and that the wonderful love and power of our Lord Jesus Christ changes us inside and is available for us to use every single day as we move about and make our choices. Thank you for all the good that has come into our life because we have been able to trust in you. We pray that you will help us more and more to see ourselves as we are in you, so that we live with the expectation that more and more we will become Christ-like in our thinking and our acting. Praise be to you for all your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of response.